Hi, we'll start. Welcome to Hebrew Club. It's good to see everybody here, and we are actually starting Amos chapter 8. So, I mean, look at how far we've gone. If you just page through, you know, the number of pages of Hebrew that you guys have gone through this year is really nice, just meeting once a week. So, congratulations, you guys. So, we got a couple really powerful chapters coming up here. We have one more vision, and that's what starts here in chapter 8, all right? And you'll notice a change in the pattern. If you remember the pattern, when the vision is presented, then Amos kind of intercedes for the people, and God relents, and he calms. So here you'll see a change. So we start chapter 8, verse 1. Ko, here, Ani Adonai Yahweh, Vehine Keluv Kites. Thus, the Lord God showed me. Here, Ani, again, a hifil from Ra'ah, hifil perfect. He showed me, and look, vehine, a keluv kites, a basket of, now kites in other contexts simply means summer, but here it means summer fruit. So some would even translate as figs, keluv kites. Okay, verse 2. Vayomer, ma'ata roe amos, va'omar keluv kites. Vayomer Adonai Eli, baha kites, El Ami Yisrael, lo, osif od avur lo. All right. And he said, namely, Adonai said, what ata, what do you see, ro'ah? Notice just a call participle. What do you see? Amos, va'omar, and I answered, a kaluv kites, a basket of figs or summer fruit. Va'yomer Adonai lai, then Yahweh said to me, Ba ha kates. Everybody see the play on words, really? Mm-hmm. Nice play. I mean, this is just a premier example of word play. We've seen it earlier in Amos as well, but I love this one for some reason. I don't know. So ba, of course, is from the root bo, third masculine singular. All right. Probably a participle, maybe. The time is coming. So about to come. Notice imminent future. To my people Israel. Again, notice how he leads in his designation of Israel with the relationship, my people Israel. All right, so that's foremost. I mean, it receives the kind of most emphasis here, focus. My people Israel. Everybody see that? So it's not just Israel, my people. Okay, not will I add again. Here's that idiom. Notice avor is a call infinitive construct, and osif is the hifil from yasaf. It's very woodenly, I will add. So, woodenly, not will I add again to pass over him. But remember, the best way to translate that in English is to make the infinitive construct a finite verb. And then osif as an adverb. So, not will I pass over him yet again. See that osif od? Again, od a lot of times accompanies this idiom, the hifil. Okay? So, not yet again, or not still again, will I pass over him. Okay? So, in other words, the other nations he has not passed over. He has passed over Israel no more. Okay, any questions through verse 2?
Is it different than never again? Like saying never again, or is it kind of
I don't know. Some context it may be never, yeah. I mean, I would say it doesn't necessarily have to be translated like that here, but it would depend on the context whether you want to give it that never again. And again, sometimes that's only seen in retrospect or in light of the bigger picture, which is why you're raising that question anyway, right? Because he does, obviously, always hold out hope for Israel. I mean, theologically it's important because while his judgment is coming, Israel is treated differently than the other nations, and that the other nations are kind of smashed like vessels, and they pass from history of time, you know. But Israel, because he's in a relationship as father to son or husband, wife, can't give them up. You see that greatly in Hosea, and you see it here in Amos too. Okay? So verse 3, Vehelilu shirot hekal bayom hahu ne'um Adonai Yahweh. Rav ha peger bekol makom hishlik has. Oh boy, another really evocative verse. All right. So that vehelilu is from the root yalal. It's a hifil, and the root only occurs in the hifil form, and it means to wail or to howl. Now notice, this is from the root shir, obviously. But shir is usually, the plural is shirim, if it means songs. Here it's shirot. And most people translate this as female singers. And it's used once, I think, in Ezekiel to mean that as well. Okay, so you'll see the translations. The singers of the Hekal, of the temple, so temple singers, will howl. Okay? Temple singers will howl. Bayom Hahu, on that day, says the Lord God.
That's the first word is participle, right?
The Helilu?
Oh, no.
No, it's a perfect form. Hifil, okay. Perfect. Yeah. Vav plus perfect. So notice he's talking about the imminent future. Yeah, so you're right. It follows the participle ba in the time. So notice the whole setting is this vision, and the vision is what's going to come. So that's why I'm giving it that future translation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. All right, now notice what he says. This is great. Rav ha-peger. Okay, peger means corpse. Here's a collective form. We, in English, we'd have to say corpses. Rav, remember, can mean great in size or many in number. So many, I would translate, many are the corpses. Okay, everybody see that? Bekol makom, in every place. And again, notice how the editors and to a certain extent the Masoretic pointing wants you to parse the phrases in these two word short things. And if you look in your English translations, most of them will do it that way. So I'll make three lines out of this. Okay, hishlik. So this is the hifil from shalak. All right, to throw out, to cast out. And notice that the subject is impersonal. So in another context, he has thrown. But if it's impersonal, one throws, or you would just say they are thrown. Okay? So again, notice how it goes. Many are the corpses in every place. Thrown around or scattered, some translations will say. That's how they'll translate that hishlik. And now you've seen this word before, has. We would translate that as hush. Remember, we saw that in the earlier oracle in which chapter 6, verse 10, when someone goes inside the house to see if there's any survivors. And remember that line, hush, for... it is not to remember, recall, give remembrance in the name of the Lord. So silence, because you don't want the Lord to come. So here you see this scene, and there's no language for it. It's just hus, quiet. So notice the hus is kind of onomatopoeia. In other words, the meaning of the word is like it sounds. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have that in German too. I don't know how you would kind of get that across. But in every language has those kind of words. So notice how dramatic it is. I mean, this is what they're going to howl. Many are the corpses in every place, thrown about. Hus, hush. Okay? Questions? Yeah, it's really a affective line. Hits you right there, see?
One question I have is... with the summer fruits, so the only reason why that comes up is that wordplay?
Yes.
Okay, doesn't have any like intrinsic meaning.
Yeah, so that's why he uses kites and cates.
Yeah.
Sounds, okay. It just works for his wordplay. And especially the end kind of thing coming.
Okay.
The prophets do that a lot, right? When you read Isaiah, it's full of kind of interesting, intricate wordplays. All the prophets are. It really makes them interesting to read.
If we just look at the English, we might be tempted to obsess over summer fruits. You know, what is the significance of this?
Right. And it's...
We're dismissing
it. Right. And it's just figs or something like that. It's because of the wordplay. You're right. Yeah. So it's interesting if you think of the former prophets as the sermon illustrations for the sermons of the prophets, then it helps you kind of see kind of the way that the Bible is put together, and you can see why what we call historical books should really be called former prophets, because all the things that Israel has done is illustrated there, and you can see how the preaching is based on that. And so you get to a prophet like this, and you know, he prophesies this, and then you can kind of see how it actually happens when you get to the end of the book and see, you know, the destruction of the north, and then in other prophecies, the destruction of the south. Yeah. Okay? Verse 4. Shimuzot hasho'ofim evyon velashbit ani ve aretz. So here you have an imperative. Hear this. Notice that this is feminine because it's referring kind of back or to something more abstract, which is very common. Hear this, O those who trample. Sha'af can mean to pant, all right? But it also can mean to trample upon, and that's what it means here. Those who, and so it's just a call participle used as a substantive. So hear this, all you who trample on the evyon, on the poor. Okay? Velashbit, okay, notice this word is from the root shabbat, to cease. This is a hifil infinitive construct. Yeah, and you know that because of the patach under the lamed, the hay is dropped out. So I think even, let's see if, notice that there's a note there that has that reading. All right, they want you to read that. So to destroy is what it means. So hear this, O you trample the poor, and do this, all right, to destroy the anive eretz. Well, you can see what anive is. It's from ana, to oppress, so it means humble, the humble of the land. The pointing is weird because they want you to read, I don't know if you guys are too interested in this, but they want you to read two yuds, not a vav yud at the end, because there's two kind of related words that come from the root ana. One is ein yud yud. Ein nun yud, I'm sorry, ani, all right? And then the plural would be ani yin. That's what they want you to read. There's another word that comes that's ein nun vav, anav. Okay, so it'd be anavim, and the construct would be anve. That's what the consonants are here. See the vav? The Masoretes wants you to read two yuds, all right? And that's why you have that weird punctuation for those consonants. It's just kind of your little obscure factoid for the day. And you can see that if you're looking for C in the apparatus, see they have the anve there. That's if you were reading what the consonants have. That's how you read it, anve. All right, but they want you to read aniye. That's all. That's all I'll say about that, okay? Any questions? Of an important nature, yeah. Okay? All right. Now here's a famous passage. Lemor, Mataya avor ha-chodesh v'nashbi rashaver v'ha-shabbat v'niftechabar le-ha-kitone fa'u le-ha-gdil shekel u-le-avet mosnei mirma. All right. So again, hear this, all you who trample on the poor, and do this in order to destroy the humble of the land, saying, when, matai, when will hachodesh, the new moon or the new month, ya'avor, pass? Simple call and perfect. When will it pass? So that ve nash bira. Okay, everybody see that that's from the root shavar. Shavar means to break in most contexts, but there is another meaning for the word. It means to sell. And so notice that this is a hifil form. When will the new month pass? And we will sell shever grain. All right. Notice that it's a cohortative form. So you could translate the whole thing. When, and obviously the sense makes this obvious. When will the moon pass so that we can sell grain? Okay, notice you have the same kind of construction in the next clause. V'ha-shabbat, and the Sabbath, when will it pass, notice, so that niftecha, we might open up the bar, the grain bag. Okay, again, notice that this is a nifal from patach, all right, and probably so that the grain might be opened. And let's make it a cohortative. It's first common plural, so that we might open the grain. All right, so they're both cohortatives. One's the hifil, and one's the call. All right, so that we might sell grain, and the Sabbath, venishtecha, niftecha, so that we might open the grain. Okay? Everybody see that? Sorry, I miskind of analyzed that, niftecha. But that's a call, cohortative, first common singular. Okay. Lehaktin. Now here's again an infinitive construct, hifil. In order to, katan, everybody see the root, small. So the hifil, to make small. In order to make small the epha, decrease the epha. Mm-hmm. All right. And to hagdil, make great. There's another hifil infinitive construct. So the call is to be big or to be great. The hifil would be to make great. Becomes factative, and to increase the shekel. In other words, they have to pay more shekels for less grain. Okay? And to aved, okay, notice that's a PL infinitive construct from ava, to twist or to pervert, the mosne mirma, to twist scales of deceit, to twist deceitful scales. So in other words, they rig the scales so that if you're paying, you know, let's say you're supposed to pay 3 stones, well, they'll rig it so you have to pay 4, all right? And the epha, you're supposed to get this much, well, they'll shrink it a little, just like, you know, when you buy stuff today, all of a sudden your cereal, you're supposed to get, oh, man, I used to get twice as much in this box, but they shrink it.
You only get 4 pounds.
You only get 4 pounds, yeah. Or they repackage it, you know, like soap, I know. It's like Dial soap used to get this nice big block. Now they scoop out the middle of it, so it breaks in half, like, twice as fast. It really drives me crazy. So you're paying the same price for it, see? So that's what they were doing, all right? Again, it continues in verse 6. Liknopa kesev dalim. Here's even worse. To sell... This is from kana, another call, infinitive construct from a third hey verb, to sell ba kesef, in exchange for money, ba kesef, notice the bait of exchange, to sell in exchange for money dalim, poor people. Ve'evyon, and the poor, again another word for poor, ba avur, on account of na'alim, sandals, and notice that's a dual form. All right, so they'll sell, so they buy and sell, they traffic in humans for money, and then, you know, it gets real sarcastic for sandals here. Okay, so that's how cheap human life is. And again, remember Amos had a lot to say about the social injustices, especially about the rich and powerful against the poor.
Do you figure they're actually talking about human trafficking and slavery dealings, or... is this alluding to their total disregard for the value of human life?
Oh, I think it's both. I think that we've seen earlier how the powerful was defrauding people out of their inheritance of the land, and how they were, remember when people were passing by, they would rob them and things like that. So you see that kind of activity. I don't think it excludes the other on a more general basis. But I think, yeah, he's probably talking about you know, their practices. And especially, I think it's internal. So they were doing this to their own blood, you know, fellow Israelites.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, now it gets even worse. And mapal bar, and the fallings of the grain. So probably like the chaff, the cheapest part of the grain. Nash beer, we will sell, shavar again. See, the hifil form is the same as in verse 5, venash bira, except that first form is a cohortative and the second one is a straight imperfect. Okay? Verse 7, nishbaronai bigon Yaakov. So Yahweh has sworn, there's that form we've seen before. By the pride of Jacob. Right. Im eshkach lanetzach kol ma'asehem. So im usually means if in conditional sentences, but in an oath, it means surely not. Certainly not will I forget. Eshkach. Call in perfect first common singing. Surely I will not forget lanetzach, ever, forever. I will never forget. Im eshkach lanetzach kol ma'asehem. All their works. Ma'aseh plus the pronoun at the end. Okay? All right, let's do one more verse. Ha'al zot lo tirgaz ha'aretz ve'aval kol yo shev ba ve'alta ka'or kula ve'nigrasha ve'nishkeha ki'or mitzrayim. On account of all this, so notice the hey is a question. All right, so on account of all this, will not the earth tirgaz tremble? Remember, this was 2 years before the earthquake. And every inhabitant in it will he not aval mourn, or wilt or wither, depending on how you want to translate that. Notice the yoshev is in construct with a preposition ba here, which I think we've seen this before, but it's not that uncommon. So that you have infinitives that can connect with not only other nouns or adjectives, but phrases as well and prepositions. Next line, ve'alta ka'or. Okay, ka'or is, there's a yud missing there, and if you look in your apparatus, you'll find it. It's supposed to be Nile, so it's a defective form as the Nile. So, and kula is the subject. So, and will not all of her Alta, rise. This is just from Allah, third feminine singular. Not all of her rise like the Nile. Okay. Venigrasha, that's from garash, to drive. Here's a nifal, third masculine, third feminine singular. And it will be driven, and it's talking about the land, or it will be tossed or driven. Okay. Venishkeha. Now again, here's another one of those Karei Kativ things. If you look out at your apparatus, you can see that they want you to read an ein at the end, almost at the end of the word that is dropped out. So, from shaka to sink down. All right. So, will it not sink down as the Nile of Egypt? All right, so again, let me read that line. Will not all of her, namely the land, see because of the shaking, rise like the Nile and Nigrasha? Will it not be tossed about? And will it not sink? That explains that pointing. They want you to read that eye. And will it not sink down like the Nile of Egypt, or like the Egyptian Nile? So notice he's comparing the land to the rising of a river. The river rises, boom, comes down, you know. So that's what he's going to do to the land. It's going to shake, all right? It's going to rise, it's going to fall, boom, boom. And when that happens, of course, there's massive destruction. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions about the grammar syntax? That kind of stops us at a nice paragraph there. All right? All right, very good, you guys. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.